we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good day to you, Brevard County, and this is it. We are hitting the finish line for the month of August in 2018, and starting tomorrow, we will already be into the last third of the year. Paul is saying yay in the background back there. As far as I'm concerned, the best part of that means that it means that the heat, the brutal heat is on it's on its way out. It may not exit the door, but for quite a while, but it's going to be losing ground day by day. And that means cooler nights. And that's pretty exciting, man. There was a couple of Thursday mornings ago, where I leave my door early of a morning, sun's not up, already 81 degrees, walk out the door after prayer meeting and sweat just boiling off of your face as you're standing out there talking to people. And I mean, it's just like been really, really hard, really, really hot. Just about any time, the most pleasant time's been right just as about the time the sun goes down. If that has been your reality, you might want to give the folks at Wyrick Air, Heat, and Electric a phone call, 321-632-9538, 321-632-9538. That is Wyrick Air. You spell it W-E-I-R-I-C-H. And they go throughout the county. And most AC people that I have talked to this year have been extremely busy because people's air conditioners need some love. And these people know how to treat any system that's out there. And if yours is on the fritz, give them a call. I don't know about you, but I want somebody that I trust in two areas specifically. I want to know that I can trust my auto mechanic, and I want to know that I can trust the person that's working on my AC. And you can trust the people at Wyrick Air. 321-632-9538. They are supporters of the Refresh Radio program, and they would be a blessing to you. Somebody was talking to me. When they talked with the person that was out, they were exchanging or interacting with one another's testimony. And that's always a good thing. 321-632-9538. By the way, my name is Bob Arthurs. Pastor Merritt Assembly of God for 25 plus years. And we would love to invite you out to our services. I'm going to be preaching on revival this week. I'm also leading worship. Now, we don't have Sunday night service this week because it is a holiday weekend. And because I'm leading worship and because I'm preaching, I'm going to need that Sunday night and that Monday just to recover and regain the strength. So, with that being said, we would love to have you come and be a part of what God is doing. I am preaching on revival. I have been preaching on revival for a couple of months now, and we are building towards the grand finale of that. And so if you would like to get in on it, you can find out what God's heart for you in revival is all about this coming Sunday at Merritt Assembly of God. Services start at 10:30. Of a morning. So what's your fall and winter going to look like? Fall begins in the month of September. And I don't know about you, but I think we should be praying for a very mild storm season. We've had storms that came to visit Brevard County each of the past 2 years. And for the past year, ever since last September, the Sunday before Hurricane Irma hit, we were raising money at Merritt Assembly of God for Hurricane Harvey relief. And then when Irma hit and Maria hit, we have spent the last year, and our project was quite simply this: providing consistent hurricane relief for those in Puerto Rico and those in Mexico who have been who were impacted by the earthquakes there. And that we've been splitting our missions funds. We'll be moving on to a different project here in the month of September. But let's pray for a mild storm season. I think that the hurricanes need to go on an ocean cruise and just not even visit any ports. I think they just ought to stay out to sea and have their fun out there. What do you think? So today we are going to be in Matthew chapter 5, and we're going to be looking once again at the Word of God and Jesus' elevated standard in our life. Verse number 31. Furthermore, it has been said, whoever divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce. But I say to you that whoever divorces his wife for any reason except sexual immorality causes her to commit adultery, and whoever marries a woman who is divorced commits adultery. So this is going to be tag teaming with yesterday's broadcast, where we were talking about that Jesus took the traditional teaching, you shall not commit adultery, and he elevated and brought greater understanding to the fact that the adulterous act begins with an attitude of the heart that impacts the eye, that affects the hand, that touches the wallet, that eventually manifests itself in an act. Again, this is not a message to condemn. This is a message to bring awareness to God's ultimate. Now, we live in a fallen world. We truly do. We live in a fallen world. I preached a message here a couple of weeks ago on revival, and that revival was for his name's sake. It's for the name of the Lord. And in Ezekiel, I believe it was chapter 36, I don't have my notes in front of me right at the moment, but there was a charge that was made by God against the people that they were profaning the name of the Lord. They were making the name of the Lord a common name instead of an awe-inspiring relationship with God. They were treating their relationship with God in such a way that the people around them said, well, their God's no different than our God. That's one of the things that profane means. And because of that, the nations around them, instead of being in awe of such a wonderful God, a compassionate God who had chosen a people for himself out of the nations of the earth, and they were saying, hey, can I come and hear of your fame, like the Queen of Sheba said to Solomon. Instead of having that attitude, they had an attitude towards God that was contemptible. And God said, my solution for this is I'm going to work in your life, and I'm going to be hallowed in your life so that the nations around us can see that God is good. And so I don't want to behave with my daily actions in such a way that people are going to dismiss the God I serve, because there's no other name under heaven by which men shall be saved. No other person has the words of eternal life. No other person. The devil sure didn't go to the cross. The devil is not interested in suffering. In fact, as I was doing my devotions here not too long ago, I found it interesting that when Jesus had some interactions with demons that were occupying a human being that Jesus was getting ready to die to save, they said, don't torment us. Isn't that interesting? Demonic beings who do nothing but torment and cause pain and suffering in people's lives. They're asking God, don't torment us. Don't torment us. Don't send us into the abyss. Don't treat us badly. Okay? Now, are you ready for this? He gave them a way of exit. He gave them an escape route. Something that he could have availed himself of when they came to arrest him, but instead he said, rise, let us go. Here comes my betrayer. He knew what was happening, and he said, I don't believe for a minute that he was running away. I believe that he was embracing the cross because of what was going to be taking place in our life. Here, the amazing thing is God answered their request. If with that being the reality, how much greater will God answer our prayers? I believe that we fail to appreciate the access that we have been given to the throne of grace. And if we would just come and say, God, help me. I need this. I need provision in my life. It would go much, much better with us. So here today, this is like yesterday's broadcast part two. But Jesus says, furthermore, it has been said, whoever divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorces. That's the old standard. Verse number 32, but I say to you that whoever divorces his wife for any reason except sexual immorality causes her to commit adultery, and whoever marries a woman who is divorced commits adultery. And so the word that is used there for sexual immorality is the word for fornication there. Fornication is the word porneia in the Greek, and that is the root word from where we get pornography. So please understand, in yesterday's broadcast, he was talking about committing adultery, and now he's talking about a person who has played the role of a harlot. And figuratively, it means spiritual idolatry. Spiritual idolatry. And so if my voice sounds different, you know, over these last couple of broadcasts, please understand it's because of the seriousness of the matter with which we are discussing here today. Jesus is concerned about these issues in our life. I will say this, if the spouse being mentioned here was already adulterous, divorce then wasn't the cause of the adultery. It was the consequence of it. It was the consequence of it. I'm a big fan of not dealing with symptoms, but dealing with causes. And we find ourselves when we get into this situation of the reality that there's a huge portion of our society that is impacted by divorce, either because they've been divorced or because their parents were divorced, their grandparents were divorced. It's a new dynamic, and it takes the Spirit of God to successfully navigate through this reality. You need the Spirit of God. So My purpose in sharing this is to let you know we are not where God ideally wants us in this relationship, but he's a God of grace and he can help us to successfully deal with that. So my job here is not to condemn those. Some of the finest believers that I know are survivors of divorce. They really are. So I'm not here to beat you down. I'm here to say, okay, let's not just ignore the warning signs. Let's not just blow it off as something that's not important, because when God says that he hates something, I believe that we need to take that into something that is very, very important. And the reason that God hates things is because he knows how painful it is in people's lives. God is looking to spare you and I misery and heartache and pain. So I'm here to look at the cause to see if we can't provide some warning out there so that we don't end up in a place where God really doesn't want us to optimally be. Matthew chapter 19. Let's look at that passage just a moment, because it's very relevant to what we are talking about here. In verse number 3, it said, "The Pharisees also came to him, testing him and saying to him, 'Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for just any reason?' And he answered and said to them, 'Have you not read that he who made them at the beginning made them male and female, and said, for this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his flesh, and the two shall become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let not man separate.' They said to him, 'Why then did Moses command to give a certificate of divorce and to put her away?' He said to them, 'Moses, because of the hardness of your hearts, permitted you to divorce your wives, but from the beginning it was not so. And I say to you, whoever divorces his wife except for sexual immorality and marries another commits adultery, and whoever marries her who is divorced commits adultery.'" So let's look at this and see that Jesus at the beginning made them male and female, and said that for this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. There's a leaving and a cleaving there. There's you and I, we need to realize that God takes two lives and he intertwines them to make out of them one life. If you've heard my testimony of the word that God spoke to me about my wife, was that he was going to take the thread of my life and the thread of her life, and he was going to weave those two threads together to form a beautiful tapestry that would be far more beautiful than anything that we could weave together on our own. That was the word that God gave me. That was in 1983. And I'm so thankful for that. So let's look here, because when Jesus was describing that when they are what God has joined together, let no man separate. That's something that we say at weddings. It's more than just words, because whenever you take something that God has joined together and then you rip it in half, it is not going to be a nice, neat little break. I mean, when you are married to someone, every area of your life is intertwined. Your past, your present, your future, they all come together. It's not just physical. It's not just financial. It's spiritual that takes place. It's supposed to be a threefold cord between man and wife and God. That's what it was intended to be. And he said, and then when all of a sudden a person comes and rips that apart, that's going to be a traumatic, traumatic experience. If you've been through it, I want to let you know that God is still able to do healing in your heart and in your life. He is the God on the other side of the divorce as well. He is able to do great things in your life. Please do not think that is the unpardonable sin. It is not. It's painful. It's traumatic. But God can make you whole, and he will order your steps and direct your path in such a way that it will bring glory and honor to his great name. Okay, so what causes the separation? I want to take you to Matthew 19, verse number 8, because they said, well, why did Moses command us and And Jesus corrected them and said, Moses didn't command it. Moses permitted it. And here's the problem. Somebody's heart was hard. Okay? I don't know the definition that everybody applies to irreconcilable differences. I've heard people who've talked about the irreconcilable differences for them was they didn't like the way their spouse handled the tube of toothpaste. They didn't like the way, now these, I'm not making these up. They didn't like the way that the person tore the toilet paper in the bathroom. They didn't like the music that they listened to. They didn't like the amount of time they spent doing other things instead of paying attention to them. There are a lot of reasons that people give. Now, Jesus said, Moses, because of the hardness of your hearts. That doesn't mean that everybody's heart was hard. Okay? That's one of the things, you know, we get into victim blaming many times. You can be a person who is doing everything exactly the right way. You are loving God, you are loving your spouse, but you don't know what goes on inside that other person's life. And what you may not know is that their heart isn't tender like yours. What Jesus says is that whenever there's divorce, it's because somebody's heart was hard. Doesn't mean that both parties' hearts were hard. It means somebody's heart was hard. And that hardness begins to manifest. First of all, I would tell you this. If you've ever been if you've been affected by divorce that was beyond your control, I will tell you this. They were unfaithful to God before they were unfaithful to you. And so God is right there. God has been divorced more times than anybody else on the planet. So please do not take this message as something that is trying to condemn, because God has a heart for the broken. He has compassion for the brokenhearted, and he wants to be there to heal you. Okay? So the message for us is this. Every day that I wake up, my heart cannot afford to be hard to God, and my heart cannot afford to be hard to my spouse. My heart cannot afford to be hard to my boss. My heart cannot afford to be hard towards my children. My heart can't survive hardness. You know, hardening of the arteries will kill you. Hardening of your heart will bring death and pain and suffering to arenas of our life. And so we can't afford not to be tender before God. We can't afford not to have a tender relationship with our spouse and with our kids. See, I've made this statement for years. I don't just believe that God hates divorce between husband and wife. I believe that God hates divorce between Christians, where there's acrimony and there's anger and hostility and there's a ripping apart of what was once a covenant relationship. I believe that God hates it any time covenant is broken. And it happens because somebody's heart gets hard. Let's not be that somebody. Let's not be that somebody. Okay? God hates it. Now, it birthed another question in me. Well, God, if hardness of heart is what causes divorce, because it leads to unfaithfulness, what causes the hardness of heart? See, I things like that are questions that come to me on a regular basis. I want to keep digging down until I find the root. And This one might surprise you just a little bit, but I want to take you to the book of Daniel. Daniel, the fifth chapter. And there's a little nugget of wisdom and revelation that is in Daniel chapter 5. And I'm going to begin reading at verse number 17. Then Daniel answered and said before the king, "Let your gifts be for yourself, and give your rewards to another. Yet I will read the writing to the king and make known to him the interpretation. O king, the Most High God gave Nebuchadnezzar, your father, a kingdom and majesty, glory and honor. And because of the majesty that he gave him, all peoples, nations, languages trembled and feared before him. Whomever he wished, he executed, and whomever he wished, he kept alive. Whomever he wished, he set up, and whomever he wished, he put down. But when his heart was lifted up and his spirit was hardened in pride, he was deposed from his kingly throne, and they took his glory from him. Then he was driven from the sons of men. His heart was made like the beast, and his dwelling was with the wild donkeys. They fed him with grass like oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till he knew that the Most High God rules in the kingdom of men and appoints over it whomever he chooses." The problem with Nebuchadnezzar, and this was wisdom that Daniel was sharing with Nebuchadnezzar's son. He said, the king had it all. There was nothing that he didn't have. He had total control. And his spirit became hardened through pride. Folks, it all tends to boil back down to pride. Pride, God abhors pride. He hates it. It's detestable to him. He hates it in all forms and all varieties. He hates financial pride. He hates emotional pride. He hates pride in the workplace. He hates pride in individuals. He hates pride inside the body of Christ as well as outside of the body of Christ. He hates it because he's humble. If there's anybody that should be able to be proud and not have anything to feel bad about, it'd be God. But he's humble and lowly of heart, Jesus said about himself. He hates pride because it hardens our heart. Let's not have that hardened heart. You have a great weekend. We'll see you Monday right back here on the Refresh radio program.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."
Sing to be mad for my king. Nothing, Lord, is hindering the passion in my soul.